So our scripture comes from John chapter 10, verses 7 through 18. I'll reference this, but we'll be in different places in the Bible as we consider the reasons for the incarnation. John 10, verses 7 through 18. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father." The word of the Holy One of God. Christmas 2017. We spent so long preparing for it. It's history. It's gone. But not without a lot of fanfare, and rightly so. You rejoiced, you worshiped, you gave gifts, you received gifts, you partied, you did all of these things and more, and rightly so. What an awesome God we have. Emmanuel, God with us. Yes, He came. The incarnation is all about the birth of Him who left the glory of heaven, fully God, to become fully man and to serve us. Amazing truths unfold. But one of the things when we talk to people about why the incarnation, why did God become man and dwell among us so that we beheld His glory? The answer is what we got from the children. It's the answer that no doubt you would have given had I asked you as well. Not the what questions, but the why. Why did Jesus come? What was the purpose of that incarnation? And the answer, rightly so, is that He came to be our Savior. As Paul says in 1 Timothy, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But though that's at the epicenter of the incarnation and tells us why Jesus came, there are other nuanced thoughts and ideas that the Bible is full of that tell us why the incarnation, that tell you what was accomplished for your personal life as a result of your trusting in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. We're going to look at several of those things. I call them insights, if you will, into the incarnation. And I begin with John 10, verse 10. It's what we just read. Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." It is interesting as we contemplate this verse and we think of perhaps people in our own families or people nearby, people that we work with. So many are broken. So many are lost. So many are undone. They turn to drunkenness. They turn to drugs. Some even in desperation turn to take their own lives. That is what happens in a fallen world. That is what happens to people who care little or nothing about Jesus Christ. But Jesus says to these, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you life. I'll give you life eternal. I'll give you something that you've never deserved. I'll give you something that you could never have earned. Come to me." One commentator put it this way: Jesus calls his followers not to dour, lifeless, miserable existence that squashes human potential, but to a rich, full, joyful life, one overflowing with meaningful activities under the personal favor and blessing of God and in continual fellowship with his people. First insight, springing out of that wellspring of the forgiveness of sin. But the first insight there then that we've covered with regard to an insight to the incarnation is that Jesus came that we might have life in abundance. Second insight comes from Luke 19, verse 10. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Lost. That's your native condition. That's my native condition. We were born dead in our trespasses and sins. We were lost. I like the story that's told by Jesus about the shepherd with his 100 sheep. Perhaps you remember it. One didn't show up when it was time to count the sheep. 99 were there, but one was lost. And Jesus says, what did that good shepherd do? He left the 99. He went and hunted for, and ultimately he found that lost sheep. put that sheep on his shoulders and came back home and called his friends together and said, "We're going to party. I found my lost sheep. We're going to rejoice together." And then in Luke 15, Jesus concludes by saying, "Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Now, I think Jesus is saying that sarcastically. He knows that all 100 need repent. But there are those who feel, "I don't need Jesus. I don't need what he has come to accomplish. I can do it on my own. I'm not going to yield my life in full yieldedness to him as my Lord and Savior. I just won't do it." But there is this one sheep, the person who does repent. And Jesus says, "Listen to what happens. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the others who didn't." Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And when he has accomplished that by his grace, two things happen. These two things happen to you as well. First of all, we're told here, there was repentance that took place. You broke down before the Lord and said, "I acknowledge that I have sinned against you and done this which is wicked in your sight. Have mercy upon me, Lord." The first sign that we've received what Christ has done is a repentant, broken, contrite spirit. One that looks to Jesus and rests in him alone. But the other thing that's really neat to see is there's rejoicing in heaven. The angels and the heavenly host gather and said, "Got him. He's mine. You've brought him in, Lord Jesus. You've found that lost sheep." And for each one of you who has placed his or her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, think about that. Is that not true of you as well as one of his lost sheep? That you, as you think back on your salvation experience, recognize that there was that time when you broke and you said to the Lord, "Please forgive me. I'm yours. I'm going to trust in you." And at the same time, there was awesome rejoicing in heaven. I don't think we recognize and spend time contemplating that great truth. But when the lost is found, God is greatly pleased that his Son has brought home the lost sheep. That's why he came. Now let me give you a third insight from Matthew 20, verse 28. "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." If anyone deserved to be served and honored and ministered unto, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, I didn't come to be served. He would have had every right to be served. But he said, that wasn't my purpose. But rather, I came to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. The captive is you and me. The one who's lost in his or her sin. And Jesus says, "I've come to pay the ransom price." Some people think of that in terms of a ransom price to Satan who holds us bound in our sin. But that's not what the scripture is teaching here. When Jesus says, "I've come to ransom many. He has in view the just anger of God, the wrath of God, and that we would be set free from that wrath through his beloved Son, who came to pay that ransom price, even death on the cross. You were ransomed so that you might be set free. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." And I move on to a fourth insight of the incarnation. Galatians 4:4-5. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." Here's another reason for the incarnation. We become so fixated on the fact that the incarnation was to ultimately be that substitutionary atonement that would pay the price of our sin. And I say that is central to it all. But flowing out of it are these other insights. This one is that we would receive adoption as sons. We're told in Scripture that in Adam we all die. But then it goes on to say, "So also in Christ shall we be made alive. It is then that we are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son." And that transition we look to and call adoption. Then we receive the adoption of sons when we move out of that one kingdom, bought by grace, bought by the blood of Christ, and brought into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now we become children of God, as many as received him. To them he became the right to become the children of God. In love, we're told in Ephesians 1:5, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. And I move on to a fifth insight from 1 John 4:10. "And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Another reason for the incarnation, another reason why Jesus came, was to be the propitiation for our sin. It's a big word. No doubt you've heard of it before. But propitiation is a sacrifice that bears God's wrath and turns it into favor. On the cross, Jesus, as our substitute, bore God's wrath and rendered God propitious. Now God was no longer alienated from us, but rather reconciled through the work of his Son, who came for this purpose, to pay the price and to render God pleased with what was done on your behalf and mine. This is amazing. And of course, I speak to those of you who are believers in Christ as we think of these various aspects and insights into the incarnation. All of these things are things that were done and accomplished for you. But I'm not done. We move on. John 18:37. "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth." Another reason for the incarnation. Jesus himself would bear witness because he himself was truth. "I am the way and the truth and the life." Jesus' word is the truth. He would pray, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is the truth." Truth. Truth. We're told in 2 Thessalonians 2:10, those who are perishing, now notice what it says, refuse to love the truth and to be saved. There are those today who are perishing. Who are they? You see, God makes it clear that some are going to heaven, but not all. For some are perishing. Well, who is it that is perishing? Search and examine your own heart. Here lies the answer. It's those who refuse to love the truth. Those who refuse to love the truth incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to come and bend the knee and to say, "You, Lord, are my Savior. You are the one who has forgiven me of my sin. I will trust in you. I believe that your word is the truth." And then we read in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, those who are being saved are saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Well, could it be any other way? Those who are saved are those who are the ones who are believing in the truth, who are trusting in Jesus Christ as the truth, who understand that His Word is the truth. Is that not true of you who believe in Jesus Christ this morning? Jesus says, for this purpose I was born. And then I give you one other insight. Comes from Ephesians 2, verses 17 and 18. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off. A reference to the Gentiles. And peace to those who were near. A reference to the Jews. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. He preached peace. He brought to you peace with God. I need not worry. I need not fear. I need not turn to anyone other than to Jesus. If I am to have peace with God, if I am to know that He is rendered propitious, if I am to know all of these truths that we've looked at, I come to Him and I experience His peace. Peace with God and the peace of God. Be anxious for nothing, he says in Philippians 4. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So let me circle around to the beginning as I close. In the call to worship, I read from Hebrews 9. Verse 26 reminds us of this central reason of the incarnation. But as it is, he has appeared, the incarnation, once for all, at the end of the ages, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And what happened as he put away your sin? He gave you life in abundance. He gave you repentance and great joy in heaven. You were ransomed. You were adopted. God's wrath was removed. He brought you the truth, and he gave you peace. Is that not reason to rejoice? Is that not reason to be happy in our Lord? And as we contemplate the reasons for the incarnation, no wonder, as we celebrate this first advent of Jesus to take away sin, we see all these other nuanced reasons that flow out of that completed work of Jesus Christ. No wonder the angels would holler from the highest, "Goodwill. Goodwill is being proclaimed. The gospel is being proclaimed, the good news of great joy." And if that's not reason for great joy and rejoicing in heaven, I don't know what is. May God bless you as you contemplate these reasons for the incarnation as it touches your life personally as a believer in Jesus Christ. Would you please stand for prayer? Father in heaven, truly it is amazing all that was accomplished through the sending of your Son. We tend so frequently to distill it down to one thing, which is so central and so important, namely the forgiveness of our sin. But we see that there's so much more that spreads out like ripples. We pray that you would be glorified in our lives as we contemplate these truths and rejoice in Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Amen.